Blog Talk Radio.
Of all time, I am the greatest of all time. I am the Alpha, Chris Jericho. And you never know what to expect from Chris Jericho. You never know what I'm gonna wear. You never know what I'm gonna do. And you never know what title is I'm gonna win. And tonight, I am the IWGP Intercontinental Champion. And I take that very seriously. I know Naito didn't want the Intercontinental Championship. He didn't wear it. He didn't bring it to the ring. This stays with me from now until the moment I lose it. I'm going to eat with this title. I'm going to sleep with this title. I'm going to shit with this title. I'm going to go buy a first-class ticket on the flight to Tampa tomorrow so this title can sit next to me on the plane.
That's right, Clark.
Wow.
That's a guy who has a title.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that was amazing. That was the New Japan pay-per-view. Probably the top sports story of the week. Forget the Golden State Golden Nuggets.
Or the Washington Capitals.
Or the Capitals of the hockey.
Or the Red Hot Chicago Cubs.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually got back on pretty bad today.
Back on doing their thing.
Yeah. Wow. So you've been telling me about this. I didn't get a chance to watch. But first of all, I want to ask you, what is a fake-ass countdown?
What do you mean a fake-ass countdown?
Earlier you had an issue with the countdown there.
Oh, she goes, before the show, the lady, the nice British lady who brought the fog to Chicago yesterday, goes, your show will start in 5 seconds. 4, 3, 2, 1.
Do you Blog feel...
Talk Radio.
Do you think...
Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
That happens the second you start... talking because you just got the countdown that you're live.
Yeah.
And then there's a pause and then they hit the fucking logo.
Well, and she counts quicker than 5 seconds, but then there's a it's a bad countdown. Are you more proud of your countdowns? I know you count down at least twice a year on New Year's Eve. You do countdowns. Are you proud of your countdowns?
Yeah. My countdowns are spot. If I was a referee, I'd be red shoes. You know, my counts are consistent. Everything's fair. And
you would be red shoes?
Yeah. Red shoes Ono, the New Japan ref.
Is he always fair?
He's always fair. There was a moment in the 2 out of 3 falls with Omega and Okada where the referee. The guy is outside the ring, and you've watched New Japan before. There's usually – the referees are a little slow.
Yeah.
So he goes, and he checks on the guy outside of the ring instead of just counting. And then
right.
He gets back in the ring, and then he kind of plays with his hands, and then he starts counting.
Correct me if I'm wrong. New Japan tends to stick to their rules more than WWE does. But the referees seem a little more inept at times. Like, they're slow to think.
Well, no. I mean, they're inept more in WWE, where a guy gets hit with a chair and the referee, is somehow knocked out.
Acts like it doesn't matter.
In New Japan, a guy gets hit by a chair and the referee goes, no. Put the chair down. Can't hit him with a chair. No.
Yeah. Right.
And then that's it.
Okay.
Because it's a match. You don't want that match ending with a DQ, do you?
No.
You're paying to see a fight.
Sure, but I'm just saying sometimes you got to have some rules or else how can you write the perfect script?
They do have rules, though.
Okay.
If somebody took it too far, the referee would call for the bell.
All right.
But it's the referee's judgment, and he wants a good fight.
So you're like Red Shoes when it comes to countdowns.
My countdowns are consistent.
Royal Rumble countdowns, I think they can play with that a little bit.
Yeah, you were saying they
were.
It's
supposed to be like a minute 30. I think sometimes it's a minute 10.
Yeah.
Right? Like, why wouldn't they do that? More excitement.
I would think the other way. I'd say, why wouldn't you time shit perfectly?
Do you think there's too many nerds like us out there? Like, there are nerds that are actually counting it?
I'm sure somebody on Reddit is going to have a whole expose on
okay. So they
phony
probably
countdown.
Do stick to the time.
I would if I was them.
Sure. I don't know if WWE would, because they tend to just, you know, like, rules don't tend to matter anymore at times.
Countdowns are extremely important.
See? Sports Machine knows.
The world will end in 5, 4,
wait a minute, hang on.
3, 2, 1. Destruction.
Okay, nothing happened.
Right. I'm just kidding.
Oh, jeez. I've never known the Sports Machine to not just be completely factual.
Yeah, no. What happened was I saw an episode of Star Trek where they gave Data comedy.
Okay.
And, you know, they installed it in them, and then, you know, it just became too much, and they had to get rid of the comedy. So I gave the Sports Machine... I was playing with it this weekend.
Yeah.
And so I gave it a little program to give it a little comedy. And it's not working. So we're going to be uninstalling.
Did you upload that or something like that?
Yeah. I downloaded it and then I uploaded it into it.
Oh, that's brilliant. Good work with that. Good work. So, guys, you can give us a call. We got a call-in number over here.
Why did Clark cross the road?
Oh, boy. I'll tell you about that call-in number in a moment. Why, Sports Machine?
So you could see the sign that had the number of 760-454-8834. Zing!
Ladies and gentlemen, for those of you new listeners who might be listening on Facebook, that there is the Sports Machine. You may remember George Michael had the Sports Machine
right
back in the day. Not the singer George Michael, but there was a sports guy. You
the sports
look him
guy.
Up. On Wikipedia, whatever. That was a TV show, a Sunday evening show back in the day where I'd get my Sunday highlights. I don't think ESPN was that big of a deal then, and it was on local stations. It was syndicated.
Right. Yeah. Well, not everybody had cable. We weren't all as rich as the Lawrensons.
How old do you think he was then? 60?
Yeah. He was an older fella at that point. Yeah.
When we were that age. That's fantastic. Hey,
speaking of age.
Speaking of old fellas.
Yes.
Have you seen they're making a Bill and Ted's 3?
No.
They have not recast George Carlin's role.
That's a shame.
They aren't. Rufus will not be in this. He will be deceased, from what I understand.
So the Karate Kid movies, you know, Mr. Miyagi's dead.
Yeah.
And I was thinking they really need the one of the referees in New Japan looks exactly like him.
Really?
Let's see if I can find a picture. And I think they should just cast this guy to be the new Miyagi. I mean, the original Miyagi wasn't even Japanese.
Okay. Are you talking about the movie remakes? Because there's a TV show now.
No, I'm talking about the TV show.
That Cobra Kai.
Cobra Kai. It's fantastic.
But why would he be in it? Like, Miyagi's probably dead in this story as well.
Yeah, but Miyagi, he could be like the ghost of Miyagi.
Why do you need the ghost? I'm sure that would make for... exquisite television. Like, that's exactly what I'm looking for in the TV show.
Hey.
Oh, boy.
Clark-san. Clark-san, have you been practicing your karate?
Huh?
Have you been practicing your karate?
No, I don't.
Hey. Miyagi knows today is your birthday. Yesterday, Clark.
Thank you. Thank you for wishing me happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
I would say he looks similar to Miyagi.
Hey, that guy looks exactly like Mr. Miyagi.
The gray chin hair, like if Miyagi had a... Yeah, that's
it. Kanpai, Clark, Kanpai. You've been watching the Japanese wrestling?
Oh, a little bit.
In order to become better, you must...
For the record, is this the ghost of Mr. Miyagi?
Hey.
Pat...
No, this is just Mr. Miyagi.
Oh, it's only the character.
It's only Miyagi. You pay for Miyagi, you don't pay for that.
It's amazing.
When everybody is greedy, Clark, be fearful. When everybody is fearful, be greedy. Aye, good night.
Oh,
See, I think that'd be perfect. Bring Miyagi back, the ghost of Miyagi.
Do you feel a little bit like you're in Japan again? Like when you get to, I don't know, talk about Japanese things and stuff? Because you were there.
Yeah.
Were you in Okinawa?
No.
That's where
Miyagi's
from.
No, Okinawa is...
I'm pretty sure.
I think that's a coastal town.
I think that was the first time I'd ever heard of Okinawa, was watching The Karate Kid. Did you see, as a kid, like, you watched The Karate Kid?
Yeah.
Did you watch them all?
Yes, of course.
Two was the one in Japan.
Yeah.
And then three was back here.
I
even watched the next Karate Kid, which was Hilary Swank with Mr. Miyagi.
Right. Oh, I forgot about that one.
There was a lot of cranberries in that one. I think the song Dreams.
The band Cranberries?
Yeah.
Do you like cranberries? Do you like cranberries?
That was perfect. I don't really have cranberries often. Like, I don't like cranberry juice with vodka.
Okay. Do you like just cranberry?
But I will add it. Like, I'll do soda water and then add some cranberry juice to it once in a while if I'm feeling fancy.
What about cranberry sauce?
It's a little too tart. Is that the word? Yeah, I can do cranberry sauce at the holidays. You know, with the ham, with the turkey.
Man, I don't know if you've been following the news, but really sad week.
Yeah.
I mean, something terrible happened. I was sitting on my recliner on a couple days ago, and it just breaks on the news about. I don't know. Somebody passed away. Anyways, I go to get off the recliner, and the damn thing is broken.
Oh, boy.
I'm stuck in the reclined position. It's an electronic recliner, and my legs were – I was doing some squats, and my legs were hurting.
That's your saddest news of the week?
Yeah. Oh. What do you think I was going to talk about?
Well, I'm sorry to hear about your recliner.
I couldn't get out of the damn recliner. I mean, it was terrible, Clark. I'm a 300-plus pound man stuck in a chair, okay? Yeah. I might have been a little stoned on top of it.
How's it feeling now? Like, is it fixed? Did you?
Yeah, it seems. I thought it was like the engine blew out on it, but
like it lost all the.
Yeah. Because it wouldn't move, and then eventually it went down.
Oh, you do have some electricity in there.
Yeah, it's electric.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh man, I must have blown the engine or something happened. I'm like, this sucks.
Uh huh.
So. I was real depressed about that, and then I pushed the button, and it finally goes down. I'm like, well, maybe it's when my weight's on it, it's struggling, you know? So I, like, started, and that was working for a while. Then I realized there's always been this piece broken on the bottom of it, and I think it's kind of a safety valve where if it thinks that arm is broken, it stops. Well, I've moved the arm piece, and now everything is fine, so.
Okay.
The tragedy is over.
Well, congratulations, Al. I'm glad that you were able to rectify the situation.
That other guy did a dine and dash on life, huh? That Bourdain.
Yeah.
That was real sad about
that.
That's
pretty rough, man. It's weird. There's just, I don't know, there's people that it really, really catches you completely off guard.
Yeah, but like...
And it's not like people know him, so it's weird to get that upset about. Like, I'm not going around, I don't know, it's just sad.
He upstaged that Margot Price, though.
Kate Spade.
Oh, well, whoever Margot Price is, I hope she's alive and well.
Man.
Yeah, unreal. Yeah.
Unreal.
You got a poor...
The human mind, Al Archer, is a fucking wild thing.
She got shortchanged on
the
that whole coverage.
Is such a wild thing, Al. You know it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, I know it. Believe me.
Yeah.
So,
give us a call if you want to join us.
Yeah.
We're live at the Sports App.
There's less depressing things to talk about, like the Golden State Warriors...
Yeah,
stomping out, crushing the hopes and dreams and desires of the worst city in America, Cleveland.
We are on Facebook Live featuring Willie right now, Al. And we're taking comments for Willie or just for us in general. Casey says hi.
Right on. What's up, Casey?
Not Comedy Accident, Casey.
Your buddy, Casey.
Yeah.
Who's in the Fantasy League.
Yep.
I was reading some, I always say, Clark, educate yourself on fantasy football if you're a player.
Okay.
Take the off season to read something.
All right.
And last year I read two books that changed my fantasy existence. And right now I'm in the middle of How to Think Like a Daily Fantasy Football Winner by C.D. Carter.
Okay.
And it's a lot of it's not so much tips as it is about the psychology of fantasy betting in correlation to like Wall Street and fundamentals of investing money.
Yes.
And one of the interesting things in the book I found, because, you know, I'm always seeking new data.
Right.
Like, I always want new data.
Data?
Yeah, data, whatever.
What do you say data?
I say data.
My daughter calls me data.
Does she? Is she saying that?
Data.
Yeah.
I don't know if she's saying it. Her first word's cheese for the camera. Cheese. But she does go da, 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 da.
Her first word was cheese?
And yeah, like for the camera.
She's going to be a Packer fan.
No. Nope.
That's a sign.
No.
Yeah, that is. Your daughter is going to be
a
Packer fan.
What is?
I'm telling you. She's green and gold, bud.
If you say anything like that again, we're going to have problems.
All right,
there are
certain
things you don't say about a man's daughter. Do you understand?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. Especially on the day after his birthday.
Oh,
what are you, like 40 now?
Ooh, not far. It's Eddie Jackson. 39.
The backside of 30, buddy.
Hot damn. Doubling back on the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are one of the greatest teams ever put together. LeBron James, the current greatest basketball player in the world, damn near carried his team on his shoulders in game one, and they almost pulled it out.
Yeah. And then
game two was a blowout. Game three, they had the lead. It came down near the end.
Yeah.
The last game was just, in all honesty, I watched a quarter and overtime of game one, the last quarter and overtime.
Right.
And that's it. But I was score checking throughout the game, and it looks like last night didn't get anywhere.
Well, they couldn't even cover.
Two nights ago, I guess.
LeBron, supposedly the greatest, couldn't even cover the spread.
Yeah.
I actually do think he's probably the greatest. People get so upset about quality sports teams. People get really angry. Everyone's upset with Golden State. Golden State this.
People were upset that Durant went there. Like, he's arguably the second greatest player in the league. He went there and joined a team that had already won the finals. Like, that's the problem.
Had he ever won?
No.
But he wanted a ring.
But the year that he left, his team had just gone seven games in the conference final, the Thunder.
Right.
The Oklahoma City Thunder, and they had gone seven games with that team. So instead of coming back the next year to beat the team that beat him, he said, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to join him.
Heel turn.
It was a heel
turn. Great.
So that's why people are pissed. You see my point?
All right. Well, I get in that aspect.
If you
aspect,
call it a heel
but,
turn, then you understand it.
But
done.
I can understand people from Oklahoma, all four of them with their 17 combined teeth. Those people in Oklahoma.
This is your heel turn.
I'm more of a Texas guy. You know what I mean? There's a rivalry there. So fucking JR's, you know, Oklahoma guy. So these hillbillies, I guess it's flatland, dust. These Okies.
There you go.
These Okies from Oklahoma.
Okies from Oklahoma.
Do you remember why that's contradictory? Did you listen to that podcast?
Yes.
Because you're not an Okie if you're actually in Oklahoma, because they were the people who stayed. The Okies were the people who left Oklahoma and went to California.
Right, right.
So you can't be an Okie in Muskogee.
You can be an Okie from Muskogee.
You can be an Okie from Muskogee.
And that's what the song is.
I'm proud to be an Okie from Muskogee.
Yeah. So what's your point?
All right, I don't know. Never mind. Forget that. Delete. Delete.
No,
delete.
I think what it was he was joking. I think it was a joke song.
Well, the song was a parody, yeah.
Right. But some people didn't take it as that. That was
right, right. Like some people think Born in the USA was like this hugely patriotic song.
And?
It's not.
What is it?
It's a very it's against the war, and it's like it's showing all the things that are wrong with America.
Oh,
it's not like born in the U.S. like an anthem. It's like I'm born in the USA.
Yeah,
but it's sung in a rock style. So, yeah. Anyway, same thing.
It's got a catchy tag.
Yeah, it does.
Tag.
Very,
I don't know if you call that a tag.
Hook. It's called a hook.
The catchy hook. I'll go with the catchy hook.
That's what we call on radio.
Can people give us a call? Because they can leave us Facebook.
They can. 760-454-8834. That's 760-454-8834.
What is the topic?
Conventional wisdom and authority.
There it is. Conventional wisdom and authority is the topic.
I'm Al Larcher. He's Clark Lawrenson.
Yes, sir.
And we were just talking anything sports.
Sports Addict, yeah.
Anything wrestling, anything life. We are here for you. As your connoisseurs of culture,
yeah.
Of sports culture.
Yes.
So hockey, I didn't know they still played it. I thought once the Blackhawks stopped with that dopey song, that the game was over.
No.
Jim Corneliuson moved on to singing at the raceway. And so I thought they canceled the hockey, but apparently
don't tell the Vegas Knights that, who made it all the way to the Stanley Cup final.
Then they lost.
First year team, Al.
Yeah.
And they lost to the Capitals.
I think it's important to taste defeat early, you know? Now they got a sting.
Yeah, they tasted success.
That's huge. That's how unpredictable.
Now, do you think that somebody on that team is going to go join the Capitals next year?
I would hope so.
Huh.
Strengthen the Capitals, be a dominant franchise.
Sure.
I would hope that I find it kind of weird that it's that easy just to build a franchise in hockey and immediately get to the championship.
Yeah. Did you see the girl who was on the glass when they were celebrating with the Stanley Cup?
No.
They call it sitting on the glass, I believe is what it's called. But she was on the glass in a whole different way.
Please get this picture. I'm excited already. Yeah. I hope this isn't a letdown, Clark.
It's not.
I hope this isn't a setup.
It is not a letdown.
It wasn't Amy Freeze, was it?
No. She decided to...
That's the Blackhawk.
Show some love to that Stanley Cup up against... Pressed up right there against the windows.
That's amazing.
Isn't that crazy?
I think
it's real. Like, I'm pretty positive it's real.
Why not?
That seems very 1970s to flash them, you know? Like, it's in a movie. Flash them. Or WWE when we were in the Attitude Era.
Right.
Like, you'd go to an event and somebody was flashing somebody else. Like,
yeah,
the crowd would start cheering for somebody to do that. That's what would go on.
Somebody
there.
Would pull some puppies out.
It's 2018. I just can't believe that. It's hilarious. Unreal. Unbelievable. But, yeah, everybody's happy for Ovechkin. And that dude, he's being kind of like the Blackhawks are with it. And I guess they all do it.
I remember.
Uh-oh.
Wait a minute. That was like the devil. I went wrong line. Wrong line.
Oh, no.
I remember when there were boobies at wrestling shows.
Oh, Jesus. Who is this?
It's Young Clark.
Oh, no.
Young Clark is here. He's
How
arrived.
Young? How young is that, Clark?
Well, I'm young enough to like boobies.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, we went and we saw, it was so cool. We went to the Rockford Civic Center.
Ooh,
and we saw
Metro Center.
We saw the Metro Center. I forgot, I'm a little young. And we saw Stone Cold Steve Austin come out, and some girl was splashing her boobies all over the place. It was awesome.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, I remember those days.
Oh, that's hilarious.
I don't mind wrestling now. My thing when sex was big in wrestling. My thing was like, hey, listen, I could go on the internet and I see a lot more like exciting stuff. So
yeah,
I agree. I don't need it forced down my throat in wrestling.
Right.
Japan does it with art. There's art. There's Pila, the Tokyo Pimps lady.
Yeah.
And then there's the I think her name is Piho. She's
Piho.
Piho maybe.
I have no idea.
She is this wrestler is kind of boring. Taishi. And she's like his submissive. Like, she comes out and like sometimes he'll pick her up and put her in the ring and like everyone gets confused and she'll kind of start dancing. And then, you know, he'll come in and attack somebody with a chair or she'll come in and hug the referee and then he'll be beating somebody back with it.
Okay.
And that's really it. That's the only women in New Japan. Yeah, and both hot, and they're both used really well.
Okay.
So anyways, back to that book, Clark. In information, they found like 20 of the world's best bookies for horse racing. And they said, here is 40 streams of data. This is like in the 1980s. Here's 40 pieces of data.
Yeah.
I want you guys to categorize the most important data to the least important data.
Data.
So they did that.
Yeah.
Data's a word.
Huh?
Data's a word.
What?
Isn't it?
No, I think it's data. I call it data.
Well, you keep saying data.
Oh, I don't know. Some people say data.
Is this a Mary Tyler Moore thing where you're sending a little cue to your kid?
No.
All
right. I'm pretty sure
better
it's
not
data.
Be. So anyways.
Needs more data, though.
Yeah.
But data works.
Oh, my God. Frustrating. So they find 40 pieces.
The character's name on Star Trek was Data.
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 Right. 40 pieces of information. Okay? Then what they did...
Pieces of information?
Yeah, 40 pieces of data.
What's another thing? Oh, good.
All right?
All right.
Smart ass.
Do you have another one?
So they go... They give them three tests.
Okay.
One test, you get 5 pieces of data, the top 5. The next test, you get half the data. The last test, you get all the data.
Okay.
Okay, so you understand the concept?
So, yeah, you don't – say it again.
So you get – so they have to pick the horses.
Yeah.
And who's going to finish in the top 5 using the data.
Okay.
And you get the top 5 data, or you get half the data, or you get all 40 pieces of data.
Okay.
Okay. Which group do you think performed the best? And how confident were they that it performed the best?
I would think it's the people with all the data.
Right.
But it could be the people with half the data.
It could be.
But I don't think it's the people with no data.
Right. But what about the people with the 5 data? There's 5, half, and all.
That's my third pick for 5, the top 5 data?
Right.
Okay. All right. So that's my third pick, top 5.
Right.
Data.
So the answer is the people with the 5.
What about?
Were the least confident besides the people with the no data. They were the least confident in their picks, but they were the most accurate.
How about figures?
Figures. Right? Will you listen to the damn thing?
Or you could call it dope.
Because I'm going to say all this, and then you're going to go, wait, what?
Another
synonym
would be circumstances. Okay. So it was the 5? Who?
The people with the 5 pieces, the top 5 pieces of data, had the most right answers.
Okay.
And they weren't the most confident.
Wow.
The people who had all the data were the most confident, and they were wrong.
Interesting.
Because there's an oversaturation of information. And that's what happens when you're playing fantasy football on Sunday, when you're looking at Twitter and you're reading every article to make a decision. You've already looked at your data. Why be swayed by other people's opinion? Because that information may not be accurate. It's just opinion. You're getting too much information. So you have to decide what is the top 5 pieces of information, stick to that in your program, and you'll be a smarter player than the people who are overthinking.
So you need to have – you want to have knowledge of the brass tacks here.
Right.
Like you want to have knowledge
– you want data.
– of the information.
Correct.
You want it. You just don't need it all.
No.
And you – there's a human element here.
Because the most
– now, we need more data, actually, to really figure out what this means. There's a lot of – we need more.
Well, if you read the book – How to Think Like a Daily Fantasy Football Winner. There are
a lot more examples.
There's
a lot of missing data here, like such as, did everybody with the top 5 information? Like, what about the people who did shitty who had the top 5?
Okay, this is one study,
Clark. Know what I mean? Like,
there's multiple studies in
them?
The book.
Okay, awesome.
That lead to the same conclusion.
But you see what I'm saying? I'm just like, all right.
Yeah. I have no idea what you're saying.
That book has the data that I'm asking for.
Yeah, there's more examples of why this is correct.
The dossier has all the info. That doesn't apply. Why do they have cinnamon here?
Synonyms.
Why are there synonyms, but they don't all apply? Brass tacks was a good one. I like that.
Huh? I asked my teacher the same question just the other day. I go, why do we have to do math? I'm going to be a famous worm grower, and I don't need to know math.
No, I don't know. I think young Clark was on to something.
Why do you constantly rip on my worm business that I had when I was a kid? Why do you rip on it?
Because normal people don't have worm businesses.
What do you mean by
normal
that?
Normal kids don't go out hunting worms and selling them. You're like a little entrepreneur out there.
Wow, this is enlightening.
Of the worm world.
This is enlightening to me.
I'm about to psychoanalyze you. Why do you invite every year? You invite me out with a vague description of what's happening.
What do you mean?
Always around your birthday.
What?
So we're going to go after the show. We're going to go meet up with another friend and have some drinks and a dinner.
Yeah.
And you're picking where we're having dinner.
Well, Brent just told me to pick. I don't
know
why.
Well, of course. Of course, you don't know why. You know exactly why. We're celebrating the birth of you.
Yeah.
And you do this every year. Did you have, like, a birthday party when you were a kid where, like, you invited everybody and nobody showed up?
Yeah, no.
Or what is the reasoning behind this?
I think I had some self-reflection at some point where I used to love those things. But now I don't want to celebrate me.
Yeah, when I have my birthday, cake and balloons, and Andrew comes over, and we barbecue, and we shoot fireworks at frogs.
You got one friend's name in the noggin there. That's perfect. Nice job.
You're welcome.
Jesus, that's one of the most annoying ones. Because it's loud, but it's so high-pitched.
Yeah.
I love it.
I know. Little Clark was a little annoying.
He was weird and annoying. I get it. Now, the worm business is fantastic.
Oh, for being on the show, I was promised. If you have a need for worms, come to Clark's Worms.
Oh, boy.
All right. Very good. I like young Clark.
Larcher, you son of a gun. You son of a gun. So back to the data.
Yeah, well, it's pretty much over. Okay. That's the point. Too much data leads to disaster because the number one, and according to this book, the number one cause of failure in fantasy football is confidence.
Wow.
If you're confident... Number one, you're probably not contrarian at all. You're probably running with the pack. You're in a hive think. You know, everybody's saying this guy's going to do it. This guy's going to do it. This guy's going to do it. And you're going to pick up on that guy. Everybody's going to play him. And even if he has a good day, you're in the pack.
Right.
And if he has a bad day, you and everyone else are screwed. So that's all I'm saying.
So 1 week, you hit big. Then the second week, you hit bigger. Like you did very well.
Right.
We're talking six figures.
Right.
Right?
Six.
No, I'm
no,
sorry. We're
no,
talking four
I
figures.
Wish.
Four figures.
Yeah. We didn't pay attention in math class.
Four figures, and your total hit five figures here.
Right.
Is what we're saying. By that third week, your confidence was booming, man. Like,
right.
You were hot. You were running, and I thought you should have been. But what you're telling me now is that might have been your downfall in why you didn't have another big score. That could be one of them.
No.
Your confidence.
No. Number one, the process was working. There's only so many weeks. You don't win every week.
Yeah, you sound a little too confident.
That's not – confidence in players is different than confidence in your gambling or your edge. If you have an edge, you maintain your edge. You know, you keep playing till the edge is gone, and then once it leaves, then you got to recorrect course and figure out how to get the next edge. It's all about edge. And Christian.
I think we need to play the football players that don't have total confidence.
That's not a bad strategy, but now that's the guy who's at 4 o'clock in the morning looking at Twitter and reading a quote from his coach that says, so-and-so has been a little unconfident
lately. Oh, and
then
he's in his head.
And now you're going to use that information to corrupt your data.
Yeah, no, you're right. I don't know how we would handle that situation.
It's like when I look for worms, I only find the biggest and fattest worms, and then I sell them 2 cents less. Then Marty's Worm Shop down the street. I hate Marty.
Why didn't I call them Clark's Crawlers?
Yeah, that would have been a better name.
Right? Like Clark's Worms. It doesn't have the same ring. I'm thinking about bringing it back. I'm thinking about teaching my kids how to run a good business, and it's going to be Nightcrawlers.
So when are where are we eating for dinner?
I'm thinking we're going to go to Kuma's.
Is there going to be a line?
Or do you want to go to Roots?
Hey, listen, buddy. It's your birthday.
We could do Kuma's too.
What's that?
On Diversity, their second. That was the second location they opened.
You seemed down on that. You seemed like you were.
No, that's fine. All right, let's just go to Roots then. There won't be a line. Done.
No, it's wherever you want to go, Clark. Don't let me sway you. It's not what I'm here for.
I don't have confidence in this. I think we're going to do well.
I think you have too much data.
I think we're going to do well tonight. I think it's fantastic. I grabbed this for something.
I know. You start looking at that phone and the whole world is lost. Lost in space. No. Lost in cyberspace is Clark Lawrenson.
Oh, I got to tell you something. So last week I was drinking. When I came here, I wanted a Pedialyte because I happen to be really hungover.
Mm-hmm.
And so I grabbed a bottle of water and I grabbed the kid's Pedialyte. It's in a package.
Right.
And I was going to dump it in the water. This was last Sunday.
Okay.
I forgot the bottle of water, but I did have the package. I also had a soda water.
Okay.
I thought there was a chance it could go wrong, so I was going to just lightly pour it in.
Right.
I'm no scientist.
No.
I don't know if you know that.
No.
We also failed at science. That's true.
I also jumped the whole thing in there. And you know what happened?
It was good.
Fizzed.
All the way. Just
we're
shot up.
Volcano
yes.
coming out of that can.
Oh,
son
science.
Of a bitch.
Love it.
I did really well. I happen to have my kids' baby wipes in the car, so I was able to clean it up really well. But what a pain in the ass. And that's why I was late last week. You gave me shit about it, too.
You know, that's I forget what I was going to say. Damn it.
Volcanoes, this kid.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
mine
yeah.
Mine never worked then, but certainly now in my fucking car when I'm driving.
Make sure you, you know, let's be respectful because there is a lot of volcanic tragedy in the world right now.
Today's Pedialyte was, I remembered the bottom line.
Oh, my God, that baby. The baby's not coming to dinner tonight, right?
What is your deal? That kid loves you.
Oh, I love the kid too. I just want to know the details. That's all.
No, the baby goes to sleep at 7 o'clock, Hal. You can rest assured if I'm out after 7 o'clock, you don't have to worry about that child of mine. I'm sorry.
Does she have a good sleep schedule?
Oh, dude, she sleeps.
How long does a baby sleep? If it goes to bed at 7,
she wakes up at 7.
Wow.
12 hours, man.
Every night?
Every night.
Damn, I want to be a
baby. Now here's the thing: we are extremely lucky. If she wakes up, she usually soothes herself back to sleep, like grabs her thumb, starts sucking on her thumb. All parents don't have that, man. We get 12 hours, and she naps well. Ever since she was, I don't know, might have been 3 months or 6 months, she started napping well. Do you know how great that is? Do you know what that means for time and quality of getting things done and being a better father for one?
I know.
Speaking of that, huh? Who's that? You got a nanny?
That's the show nanny.
Show, baby?
Yeah, it's the show nanny.
The new characters entering the show tonight is the show nanny.
Slavana.
Oh, boy. That's fantastic. Welcome. That's a heck of a name.
Yeah, babies are too much work.
Babies are us. They're going out of business.
You know what I was thinking about the other day when I was watching Judge Judy?
What?
I watch Judge Judy, like, I'll wake up and I'll turn Judge Judy on and I'll still lay in bed. So I'm not necessarily watching, but I'm listening.
Mm-hmm.
I wish they would animate it. I hope after she passes on, somebody just takes all the old Judge Judys and just animates them.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I think the Judge Judy cartoon
would be
phenomenal.
She would be down with doing that right now. She loves money.
She does.
Like, and she makes good money.
Isn't she like the highest paid?
Yeah. How often do you think she films that show? Do you think, how many shows can she film in a day? Four?
I think more than that.
Really?
I think she puts in 8 hours.
Holy shit.
They're half-hour shows, and she runs them like clockwork.
So then she's not doing 16. There's time in between and whatnot, but she could be doing 8. Maybe
do you know
10?
How many episodes they have a year?
How many?
They do like 250 episodes.
Yeah. Yeah. No. That's amazing. Jim Harbaugh, the coach of the Michigan Wolverines football team,
uh-huh.
Former Chicago Bears quarterback.
I've heard of him.
He's a big Judge Judy fan. He's even appeared on the show. I've got to find the episode. I've never seen it. I know.
In a case or just as like sitting in the crowd?
I think he was in the crowd, and I think she like rep. Why would she not? I think she put him on the show because why would she not? Like that guarantees you more viewers. Am I right? Like Michigan fans would watch it.
Sure. I don't think she worries about viewers. I think she just does her thing.
Wow.
I read up on the bailiff. You know the bailiff bird? I mean, if you watch a show, you know the bailiff.
I watch it enough. Yeah.
So Bird.
Okay.
You know, he's always the one. She's like, Bird, can you get the what are they called? The blue book. Look up the blue book value on a 1992 Ford Escalade.
Oh, that's amazing.
And he's like, okay.
The bailiff. Up this info. That's amazing. That's one job I would never see. I don't think traditional bailiff.
Well, she can't do math either. She's like, I went to school to be a judge, not a mathematician.
Does he do the math?
Bailiff. Bird knows the math.
Bird does the math.
So I looked up Bird, and it turns out he was her bailiff. He was one of the bailiffs in the courthouse she used to work at when she was a real judge.
Wow.
And
when
he found out she got the show, he sent her a letter like, hey, congratulations. And by the way, my bailiff suit still fits. And she's like, call him up. See, we need it. They were like, tried casting a bailiff. They were trying to get an actor to do it. And it was like, she's like, why don't we just see if he could do it?
Wow.
So they flew him out.
Screen
he did
and
it.
Boom,
and boom. Now Bird is the bailiff.
That's awesome. That's great news. He makes better money than he did.
Oh, yeah.
As a bailiff in a courthouse. Do they film that in L.A.?
I think New York. I think so. I think it is L.A. She sounds like she's from New York, but she's old. I bet
I'm surprised she's not in Florida.
She likes the cold. She likes the warm.
Arizona.
Let's see. Hey, Sari, where's Judge Judy filmed? Wow. Well, very interesting.
Did you hear Vince Vaughn got arrested for DUI?
Yeah, and I guess he got into a fight.
Yeah? Fighting with the officer?
Did you watch Live PD?
I do.
Yeah, that show is great.
I have slowed down. There was a while where I watched every Friday and Saturday night. There was about a month there. Denver.
Yeah, Denver.
Got the canine.
Dude,
that is the one guy that I cringe. I don't like him.
Okay.
I don't like him at all. I love his dog.
Why are people such dicks to the police, though?
Oh, man, people are dicks to the police.
I mean, it's like there's just always attitude. It's like, when I get pulled over, I'm a nice guy. Like, I'm pissed.
Dude, they have some really awesome officers on that show.
There
are some people who can defuse situations, and I've seen...
The Lake County duo. Do you know the Lake County?
Yeah.
The female cop is gorgeous. She's like...
The short gal.
Yeah, yeah. She's
Lake
got
County,
the pink,
Illinois.
She's got the pink handcuffs.
Uh-huh.
And, like, she's always... She's hot, and she always gets put to the side. Like, the other cop is, like, RoboCop before he became a robot.
Uh-huh.
He's, like, all serious, but he's really nice, too. So he always, like, all right, well, I'm going to look up your information. Why don't you sit with her for a minute?
Uh-huh.
And then she talks to them, like, real. Like,
and she gets them to be real.
So
she
I know it's creepy, but I definitely Googled
her.
Oh, yeah,
her.
And
she wasn't very good in the studio.
No,
she
you're
was
right.
Nervous as hell.
They gave her a shot.
She could get better. Yeah, I don't think they're inviting her back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I thought she got an opportunity.
The other guy,
Dix,
does fine.
But did you know she's a lawyer?
Whoa.
She just graduated. She went to Buffalo Grove High School.
She only on the show for TV.
So she grew up exactly one town over from me.
Okay.
I mean, she's like 10 years younger. So.
Right.
But she's been going to law school this whole time, and now she passed the bar. She's a lawyer, but she loves being a cop more than anything else. So.
Wow.
Yeah. That's badass.
I think she could make more money as a lawyer. I would think.
Definitely.
Yeah. No, she's a great cop. I think she's a fantastic cop. And then the two guys, they're in Florida.
Yeah.
The one taller black fella, not the money, not the jacked one. He is good. I do like
right,
that jacked
right,
black
right.
dude. But and a taller black guy, and then a white guy. They've both been in the studio before.
Okay.
Their names.
Yeah, I'm sure actually
right
you know.
Yeah,
if
you'll
I see
know.
It,
what I'm talking
I know
about.
Exactly.
They just do a great job diffusing situations. Cops. It's cops on cocaine.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it's
the next
different episode.
It's the cops evolved.
Uh huh. It's the red zone, NFL red zone, for cop shows, for live cops.
Matt Cleveland is. What do you think that LeBron's going to do? You think he's sticking or you think he's going? You think he's flying the coop? If I was LeBron James, you know what I would do,
dude? What?
Golden State.
He won. Yeah.
I would show up at Golden State and I'd be like, "Woo, we are going to slaughter the league."
We're going to hang out with a friend tonight and others who think that if that happens, they're not going to watch the league next year. So you're going to have to start watching.
And others.
Huh?
And others.
I've heard a few people say, "I will not watch the league if that happens." Because it's, come on, man. You
oh,
want
it'd be
to
wonderful.
Join them?
Absolutely. The dream team.
That'd be yet another heel turn. Like,
yeah,
it'd
be the best
Cleveland,
heel turn ever.
He's done face turns with Cleveland. Heel turns. Oh, man, it's fantastic.
So,
hey, where are my reminders at?
A few days ago, can I talk Dominion? Can I talk about the New Japan pay-per-view?
Sure. Tell me about it.
So this is probably the best wrestling show in the last 20 to 30 years that
Live
just happened. Sports
Act's a pretty good wrestling show.
Right. It happened on June 9th in Osaka Joe Hall, who I think he was a friend of yours. I know. We've gone through this.
Yeah.
And the show
older.
From start to finish was just fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Starts out for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Championships of the lightweights. Desperado and Yoshibu versus Sho and Yo.
Who?
Roppongi. The Roppongi tag team.
Oh, yeah.
And
this match happened. I didn't really pay attention, so I don't even remember who won. I think El Desperado. I think Suzuki Gun won on that one. Then the next match, this is when I really started watching. It was a special tag team match. David Finlay, the son of Finn Finlay, and Juice Robbins.
Fit Finlay.
Yeah. What did I say?
Finn.
Yeah. Sorry.
Finn Finlay.
Took on Yoshihashi, who's boring, and Jay White, who's boring. And it didn't seem like Finlay or Juice Robinson had a chance. They end up winning the match. Cool to see. Then we had a special tag match. Yano and Ishii took on Zack Sabre and Minoru Suzuki. And, you know, Suzuki, he's the old mean guy. And Ishii is this short, stocky guy who's just a little badass.
Uh-huh.
So him and Suzuki have been having words, and they go at it. And after the match, you know, they get Yano to tap out. And after the match is over, Suzuki's walking to the back, and Ishii runs up to him, grabs him, and just starts beating him, throws him back in the ring.
Uh-huh.
Suzuki recovers. They brawl it out. They go out to the outside of the ring, Clark, and they just start exchanging the hardest slaps I've ever seen to each other. Just one is smacking him as hard as he can in the face. Dude, the next guy smacks him hard as
he can. You don't fake that.
They go back and forth. It was phenomenal.
You do not fake that.
So that set up the three-way match. Goto, Michael Elgin, who came out looking absolutely ripped.
Really?
This guy, he always looked kind of junky, like a Vader type.
Uh-huh.
He came out looking like the world's strongest man. Like if Mark Henry got in shape.
Yeah.
Like this guy was... WWE needs to sign Michael Elgin. I know he had some problems in his personal life, but they mm-hmm. need to sign Michael Elgin.
Wow.
And he's fighting Tashi for
That'd
the...
be crazy.
This is for the open neverweight title. And I'm assuming Goto retains here. Well, Michael Elgin wins.
No kidding.
So now you got the Gaijin, you know, the non-Japanese, just took a title.
Yep.
The next match, for the first time ever, the Young Bucks are fighting in the heavyweight division. They've always been in the light heavyweight.
Move. Okay, the junior heavyweight.
They're going for the tag team titles against Sonata and Evil of LIJ. And they go out there, and they look a little overmatched, and they start selling injuries. I think they oversell. Like, there's some criticism of the Young Bucks, and I get it. Like, they oversell way too much. But at the end of the day, their matches are fantastic.
Okay.
They're fun to watch. At the end of the match, the Jackson boys pull it out, and they win the titles. The Gaijin, again, take it off the Japanese. So now you're thinking, okay, Kenny Omega versus Okada is the main event. This is the greatest wrestling
feud. So this is their first heavyweight tag team title?
Correct. In New Japan.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right.
So now you're like, okay, there's no way Kenny Omega is going to win, and there's going to be a clean sweep of all the Gaijin. Like, the mm-hmm. Japanese are going to hold the title. And if you don't know, Okada's the longtime champion. He's been champion for about 2 years now. He's defended the title 12 times, which is a record. And he's fought Kenny three other times. The first time, Okada won in 48 minutes in what they said at the time was the greatest match ever.
Yep.
Their rematch, they go head-to-head, goes to a time limit draw of 1 hour. So no winner. Well, Okada retains the title, though. In the G1, title's not on the line. Kenny Omega beats Okada, and there's a 30-minute time limit in 28 minutes, and gets the win. So now the series is evened up. So here we are 2 years later. We're going on. These two are going. Okada called out Kenny Omega, said, I want you in a 2 out of 3 falls match with 0 time limits. This match could go forever. But
wow.
But now you're seeing all these Gaijin wins, so there's no way, of course, Okada's going to win. It just doesn't seem possible.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have a specialty match, a gimmick match. Marty Scurll, Hangman Page, and Cody are taking on three legends. Tanahashi, Jushin Thunder Liger, and Rey Mysterio Jr.
Oh.
Rey Mysterio Jr., possibly the greatest lightweight wrestler ever, had never wrestled in New Japan before.
Really?
So it was a big deal.
Oh, that's rad.
And surprisingly, the Bullet Club wins that match. I think
wow.
Cody gets a pin.
Huge.
So now you have the match everybody's kind of been waiting for besides the main event. Will Ospreay versus Hiromu Takahashi for the light heavyweight title. These are the best lightweights in the world. These guys bring flipping to a new level. Just absolute crazy. And everyone's looking forward to this match. It delivers. Hiromu Takahashi ends up taking the lightweight title off of Will Ospreay. Which I hope Will Ospreay takes some time to heal up that neck a little bit. My God.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get to the co-main event.
the 18th champion.
How about we do DMK?
Sure, whatever you want, buddy. The 18th Intercontinental Champion, Tetsu Naito, is taking on Chris Jericho. And Chris Jericho has just been an absolute... His new tagline is fuckface. Like, that's how he tags all his promos.
Okay.
He's like, I'm coming for you, fuckface.
Yeah.
So he's...
It's awesome.
R-rated. It's R-rated Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
He comes out looking like Michael McDowell from Clockwork Orange. Or okay. Michael Jackson. Yeah. I don't know which.
Yeah.
Comes down the hat. He's got, like, clown makeup on. He comes to the ring crazy. Naito comes out with his badass music, wearing his white suit. Drops the title because he doesn't care about the title. Walks towards the ring, and Jericho just starts beating the shit out of him. These two start throwing through each other through tables, and it's more Jericho. Jericho is just beating him, beating him, beating him. Red Shoes is like, stop, stop. He's hitting him with chairs. He's taking announce tables. At one point, Clark, he grabs the camera, puts it on his shoulder like a cameraman, and just does this in front of the camera. So
yes.
It's only his finger.
That's awesome.
He's yelling at the crowd.
He is having a lot of fun.
It's like Brody back in the 70s or
wow.
Stone Cold in the 90s. They're tearing him apart. He grabs Naito. Naito's suit's still on. Naito's eye is bleeding. There's just blood gushing down the side of his face, which is ironic because his tagline is he puts his hand and widens his eyes.
Yeah.
So Jericho throws him in the ring and yells at Red Shoes, ring the fucking bell. So now the match is starting. And it's actually kind of cool because the ring is over-mic'd, and you can hear Jericho calling the match.
Really?
Yeah. There's a couple times during the night. You can definitely hear the match spots.
I think that's a lot of fun.
So Jericho's just beating the shit out of him. Naito does have a little bit of a comeback, but at the end of the day, Jericho just beats him to a pulp and takes the Intercontinental title. And the
wins.
Japanese fans
and win.
The Japanese fans turn on Naito.
No.
And are cheering on Jericho.
Shut up.
It's
That's
fucking
hilarious.
Crazy. After the match, Jericho, of course, takes it too far, just grabs the title and just starts beating Naito with it, continuing on. And then Evil, who's in LIJ with him, runs out and makes a save. Jericho at one point takes his belt off after the match and just starts whipping him, like hard whipping him with the belt. So, yeah, Evil gets in the ring, grabs a belt, and Jericho runs. Super pumped up. Now we're getting to the main event. 2 out of 3 falls. Can they top what we just witnessed, this massacre? And they each come out. Beforehand, there's this Kenny Omega promo where he faces himself. He's like, this feud, what does it cost me? And then they show an image of the Bullet Club logo, and it vanishes. I don't know. That's a movie reference.
Yeah.
I've seen it online. It vanishes. His relationship with the Young Bucks, broken. And he's just standing there, like, looking in the mirror. Then on the other side of the mirror, up walks, what's his name? Ibushi, his golden lover.
Okay.
Ibushi comes up and, like, gives him the confidence that he could do this. And then it ends with, what does this cost me? And it just says, everything. And then his logo pops, and he walks to the ring. And it is so dramatic. He gets in the ring. And then Okada comes out, the great champion, the greatest champion in Japanese history, comes to the ring, 30 years old, in his prime, best wrestler in the world, no question. No fucking question after this. Fuck AJ Styles after this.
Wow.
Okada is the greatest wrestler in the world.
Why do you have to be so rude about it?
I'm not rude. I'm just passionate.
AJ Styles is a nice guy.
He is a great guy.
A man of faith.
Loves the Republican Party.
Yeah, big man of faith, big Republican for you.
So, Okada comes in the ring, and he just – these two go – Kenny Omega's strategy is he can out-cardio Okada. He can make this match go 2 hours.
He can.
And if he does that, he's going to win the title. So the match goes, and they go for about – I think they go 30 to 40 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, one mistake, Okada gets like a schoolboy roll-up, holds the legs, gets a quick sneak pin. Okada gets round one.
Damn.
Now Kenny Omega can't pace it anymore. He has to get a win.
Right.
So they go like another 20 minutes, and all out of nowhere, Okada, same fucking thing. Gets the leg, the roll up. It's a callback to the first fall. And you're like, holy shit, it's going to end with a two. Okada's going to sweep.
He's going to do it twice.
Nobody knows who's winning this match. It's up in the air.
He's going to do it twice.
He's
going
to do it twice. He's going to sweep it, and that's going to be define him as the greatest wrestler ever. And, Kenny kicks out.
Wow.
So now they battle back and forth. Boom. Kenny hits the one-wing angel, gets a pin. Boom. We're tied up.
That's his finisher?
Yeah.
Okay.
The one-wing angel.
So now we go into the final bout.
Okay.
No time limit.
Winner takes all.
Right.
You have no idea how long it's going to go.
At this point, the total match, there's 2 minute break between rounds.
Oh.
At this point, they're an hour into the match. And Okada's finisher is the lariat, the clothesline, a hard clothesline, you know, a short clothesline where he grabs a guy, pulls him forward, and clotheslines him. It's called the Rainmaker.
Uh-huh.
So he hits Kenny with one of those. Kenny, like, kicks out. Everyone thinks it's over. He goes. He's got Kenny. He's going for another one. And boom, he hits Kenny Omega. Nothing happens. Follow through. He's too exhausted.
Oh, shit.
He falls.
Oh, shit.
Kenny falls.
Oh, shit.
Now
they're
it's
both
on.
Down?
Now it is on.
They're both
they
down.
Are both down.
We're kind of talking like the end of Rocky II.
Yeah, we are.
Oh, my gosh.
So there's no way Kenny's going to pull this off, but he just might. Kenny Omega, boom, hits a move. Beautiful suplex. Goes for the pin. Okada kicks out.
No.
Okada goes. I think Okada hits one more Rainmaker.
Oh,
hits
shit.
It. Boom. Knocks Kenny. This time he comes with the force. It's still not the full Rainmaker, but it's enough to knock the hell out of Kenny. He can't get to the cover in time. Or he gets to the cover in time. Kenny kicks out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, mm-hmm. Wow. Now we're about an hour, 6 minutes into the match. Kenny Omega hits the one wing angel, gets the pin, and it's just like, oh, my God. Everybody, there were tears in the crowd. There were
no
tears
shit.
In the homes. The emotion
were
of this 2 year journey.
Were there tears in a certain attic?
There were tears in the attic, Clark.
Yes!
I'm not afraid
yes!
to say it.
That a boy.
We've been following this Rocky story for 2 years, and he's never been able to do it. But finally, he gets his corner man back. He gets Ibushi. And after the match, he's just laying in the ring, like, oh, my God, I did it. The title comes in the ring, and the Young Bucks come down. They come down the aisle.
Okay.
And Kenny looks at them. The Red Shoes is holding the title, trying to present it to Kenny.
Yeah.
And Kenny looks at the title, looks at the Young Bucks, walks past the title and hugs the Young Bucks and gives them a hug. And then Ibushi looks at them and he hugs Kenny, hugging the Young Bucks. And now everybody is together and the family is reformed. Another beautiful arc to this story that's been building for 2 years because there's been friction. So now it's like really emotional.
I'm going to watch it.
Everyone's hugging. And then
tomorrow during Hazel's nap.
Yeah, do it. Then Kenny grabs the title, and they're about to put Kenny on his shoulders, and guess who comes out?
The Young Bucks.
The Young Bucks are already out there. They just hugged Clark.
Oh,
you have not been
Cody. Cody comes out.
Cody comes out.
Yeah.
And Cody comes out, and he's just like clapping, and then he looks, and then he just walks to the back. Wants no part of it.
Wow.
So the Bullet Club. So then Kenny gets on the mic and he announces that
Cody and Kenny at All In.
Maybe no. Cody already has his match.
Oh, you're right.
He's got the NWA title.
Oh shit, that's right.
But hey, Okada and Kenny are both booked on that show.
Is Okada booked on it?
Yeah.
Ah, they can't do it. They just finished that story.
Which
didn't
sucks
they?
Because I wanted to do the meet and greet with Okada with him holding the title, but I'll get the meet and greet with Kenny holding the title.
Have you done a meet and greet with Kenny?
No.
Wow.
No, I tried. I missed him by
El Archer, you're one of the kings of meet and greets.
Well, so there was a rumor Kenny Omega was at this shop where he got his clothing designed when I was this is when I'm in Tokyo, the day after the Wrestle Kingdom.
Yep.
So there's on Twitter, there's a rumor like, hey, Kenny Omega is going to be at the Hoiming, which is this cool little shop. So I'm like, cool, let's go. Like, I'm with my buddy Patrick. We already tried to meet him once at another place. And I'm like, you know, let's finish up what we're doing. And then I'm like halfway through dinner, I'm like, you know what, let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
We end up taking the train line in the wrong direction. So instead of being 20 minutes away, we're now like 40 minutes away.
Whoops.
So I'm like, well, what do you think? He's like, well, I don't know. I'm like, well, let's just go. So we go, we get there, and sure enough, Kenny Omega was gone. There was somebody in the back, though, so we kept waiting and waiting. It turned out it was Roppongi.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the Yo and Sho were there. And so we got to meet them, but it wasn't Kenny Omega. And then last time Ring of Honor was in town, there was a Kenny Omega meet and greet, but it sold out. And I really wasn't going there to meet him.
Right.
So, yeah. But now that I have the program, I need him to sign it. I definitely want to meet Kenny Omega. And a chance to meet Kazuchika Okada. I don't think there's going to be many opportunities for that. So
that's wild.
And hands down, again, the greatest wrestler of all time.
Summer, man, has taken off, and we are hot on Summer.
Oh, yeah.
You know that Kid Festival, Spring Awakening? Do you see kids who come in from there? at night?
Sure.
You see concert goers?
Absolutely.
That's this weekend. It 4 miles south of my house. I was gone most of the weekend, but it's 4 miles south of my house, and I can hear it. I can hear it when I walk outside. You can hear the bass coming from there.
It's awesome!
Oh, no, it sucks, you dipshit. Young Clark is a stupid ass.
No, it's so cool! It's like we're there, but we don't have to pay for it!
Dude, I'm glad that...
I used to do that at Wrigley Field!
I did.
I know, I'm you!
I'm glad that Dominion was solid.
Oh, my God, Clark.
The greatest match of all time.
All right, here's what you do.
Is that the greatest match you've ever watched?
Yes.
Even when the great Hulk Hogan came in and challenged Yokozuna immediately following him?
Yes, it definitely. Definitely.
You liked
that,
didn't you? I did, too. I did. I was hook, line, and sinker. I was an idiot.
I was kind of at the point where I was like, all right, I want to see what's next after Hogan. Like, I was kind of at that point with him.
Hogan just stole it back. Oh, hilarious.
I think I saw a worse situation live when I was at WrestleMania 8.
What happened?
I think the main event was, it was like Hogan and Sid or, it's funny, I can't remember the main event of that show, but I remember the mid-match, which was Flair Savage for the title.
That's a great match.
But the show ended with like Hogan versus Sid, and then the Ultimate Warrior made a run in.
Wow.
It was
that's
weird.
That's awful.
It was weird.
Yeah, that's terrible.
No,
but. It could be the greatest match of all time.
I think it is. I think
what
it is. The emotion. You know, I'm sorry it's ruined for you because I think that's going to be a big part of it.
I wasn't going to. It wasn't. Yeah, it's fine. I know. I know that that's a big part of it, but I will watch it and honor what it was. It's definitely Sid. You nailed it there.
Do you want to hear something really sad?
They're both on the cover. Both matches.
I've been to 3 WrestleManias.
WrestleMania 8. Yeah.
And Psycho Sid was the headliner at 2 of them.
Oh, no.
Can you believe Sid headlined 2 manias?
What other mania were you at?
8 and 13.
All right.
So 8, the main event was, it should have been Flair or Savage, but instead they put that in the middle of the show because Hogan had to go on last, and they thought the Warrior surprise was going to be a big deal. So Sid versus Hogan with the Warrior running in a disaster of a match, and WrestleMania 13 was Psycho Sid versus The Undertaker for the title.
Wow.
Now, I did get to see The Undertaker win a title, which there really isn't a lot of Undertaker title wins.
I wish Sid would have been better. Like,
yeah.
In theory, he was great. Like, he just looked like a man who would rip everybody.
I got a picture of him with him somewhere in the attic. And it's him and me. And I'm wearing, for some reason, I'm dressed like Jim Ross. I have like a cowboy hat on and a flannel. I basically dress like you going to a fancy dinner.
Okay.
And at this situation, I'm up to like his waist. Like he was that tall and like just pure muscle. Like it was it was an impressive dude. He looked like a champion. I get why Vince McMahon wanted him, but yeah, he just didn't deliver. All right, buddy. I don't want to keep the show going for too long because I feel like you have your dinner.
Yeah,
your big birthday dinner. That's not your birthday dinner.
Harvey Whippleman was in his corner.
Correct. Yeah.
And it was a 12-minute match.
Oh,
Hogan and Sid. And that's how it ended, huh? With the on-screen running.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Warrior came in and.
That's ridiculous. You also got to see Tatanka defeat Rick Martel. You saw the Natural Disasters live?
I did, man.
When they defeated Money Inc., who, of course, was Irwin R. Scheister and Ted DiBiase.
Yeah, and I was chairing for Money Inc. I was a big DiBiase guy.
Were you really?
Absolutely.
Wow, because you like money.
I do.
You got to see Owen defeated Skinner.
Yeah,
that's
classic.
But you're right. They placed the Savage Ric Flair match. That was like the end of that affair. Like magazine had teased a Ric Flair Elizabeth.
Ric Flair.
Oh my!
Now mind
God.
You, I'm like a 12-year-old boy, and they tease Ric Flair says, "When I win tonight, pal, you're gonna look up at the top of the Hoosier Dome, and we're gonna have the biggest naked picture of Miss Elizabeth ever displayed."
Unreal.
And I'm like, oh my God! I hope Flair wins. I hope Flair wins. Yeah, Flair didn't win.
Yeah,
I got to see Macho Man's second 12-year-old title.
12-year-old boys everywhere wanted that. That's amazing. No, you got to see good stuff. Shawn Michaels had gone solo already.
Yeah. No, remember, that was his first Mania, I believe.
Do you remember El Matador?
Yeah, Tito Santana.
Yeah. I don't know why I started just going by El Matador.
Gimmick change.
Yeah.
I saw
Undertaker versus Jake.
Jake, yeah. Undertaker's second Mania match.
Bret Hart, Roddy Piper for the Intercontinental title.
That was the second best match on that show. Some would say the first.
Bushwhacker. Now, you might not have seen this. I think it was a dark match. But the Bushwhackers defeated the Beverly Brothers.
Don't remember it.
Big Boss Man Jim Duggan and Sergeant Slaughter.
Oh, yeah.
And Virgil defeated the Mountie, the Nasty Boys, and Repo Man.
And the guy from, I think, the Family Feud was the ring announcer.
Wow.
Yeah, the one who killed himself.
Ray Combs. Yeah. Yep. That's just great, man.
The Legion of Doom arrived. They cut a promo with Paul Ellering.
Oh, wow. That's wild.
It's a good night. I'm going to Money in the Bank this weekend.
Yeah, you are.
I'm going to NXT Saturday night.
Saturday is that. Money in the Bank Sunday. So show, we'll let you know what's going on. I need to put in for 2 weeks from now on a Sunday.
Yeah.
I need to put in time off.
Okay. Will you be available Monday, or is it a total?
I also need to put in time off for Monday.
Okay, so.
Yeah, we might be a total wash.
All right. I'll find a co-host.
We'll discuss. Yeah. Call Casey and Buckets.
See what Brent's up to.
Casey and Kellen?
Yeah, Casey and Kellen.
Eric, maybe?
Eric? Well, maybe Eric, because I think we're going to Money in the Bank.
Friendship Torn Apart was one of the taglines for WrestleMania 8. Yeah, Sid and Hogan had been friends.
But everybody was friends with Hogan and then broke up with him. He's like CM Punk. Oh, talk about an ass whooping.
Yeah?
That was awesome. He got beat down.
Did you watch any of that fight?
No.
You didn't watch the CM Punk fight?
That WrestleMania, the original plan was for Flair.
Yes.
Hogan?
Yes.
Are you shitting
me? I got screwed out of Flair versus Hogan in Mania.
You did. That should have fucking happened, though.
I'm
that
still
is
bitter about that. Still
Why
bitter.
Did that not happen there?
Instead, I mean, Flair
one
Savage
of them,
is awesome.
Did neither
but,
one of them want to?
That's what's been alleged.
Lose? Or
they
what?
Both claim no, like it wasn't going to happen. But I think it was. Yeah, neither one wanted to lose that match.
That's so stupid.
So,
there's no money in that. You got to be a little better than that, just a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think Flair
imagine
said
if
we,
Omega and Okada couldn't come to a decision on this.
Right. Oh, the Booker in New Japan Ghetto is so good.
Yeah.
Oh, that's Fat Xbox.
They could use a guy that good here. Oh.
Yeah. That's the Booker.
The guy who stands...
With Okada.
With Okada?
Yes. So that's always kind of the joke, because he's Okada's boy. It's like Vince McMahon and Roman Reigns.
Oh, that's amazing.
The head Booker's the manager of the champion. Yeah. But it makes sense, because he's good. Oh, and New Japan just got a new president, who's a white guy.
Is he American?
I think Kevin Spacey is stepping down. The Asian. There's a guy who's the president who looks like if Kevin Spacey was Asian.
Oh, wow.
So I think he's out. And the new guy, I think he's Canadian.
Oh.
But he's definitely he's a white guy, which is kind of like, whoa. And now they're expanding into larger markets. They want to be the number two company in the world behind WWE and popular in America. And they're trying.
They're getting there.
And if you look at it,
they're getting better at what they're doing, and it looks like they're putting an effort into it.
Every heavyweight champion is a white guy.
The search results are changing, too. Like, I was searching for New Japan in Google. Dominion showed up, because I wasn't quite even sure of that. And then full show. Like, people are trying to find it.
Yeah.
People who don't want to pay the money for it.
Sure.
Which you do. You subscribe to.
Well, it's $10 a month for the best wrestling every 2 months.
Yeah.
So you're like paying, $20 a pay-per-view.
Okay.
If you think about it,
yeah.
With stuff in between, the G1 is worth it alone. All right. Well, I don't know what else is to be said. Did you pick a restaurant? Do we have
Not
a final
much
else. Decision?
Yeah, Roots. But
Roots?
Yep.
All right. I like
mozzarella
it.
Mozzarella sticks.
I love
no
it.
No pizza for you, though.
I may have some pizza.
It's called Quad City style pizza.
Fuck Quad City.
Yeah, we're going to pick up Brent. We'll pick you up. He was listening earlier, he said, so.
Nice.
And he just said it. He suggested DMK for a second. I'm so good with decisions.
Yeah, I think Bridge is a great decision.
Why would he ask me to decide?
Because it's your fucking birthday.
Yeah, but I would have wanted him. I want
no,
him
that's
to
not
decide.
How it works. That's the one time a year where you pick where you want to eat.
Well, I don't even think I want to go to Roots. Well,
no, where
kidding.
Do you want to go?
Let's go to Roots.
Oh, my God.
Oh, everything that needs to be said has been said on this here show.
Hey,
right?
Hey, how about, what about
shut
Chuck
up,
E.
Young,
Cheese?
Shut up.
Chuck E. Cheese?
Go away.
Wait a minute. Yeah, just Sluggers? Can we hit at Sluggers and can you play some of the baseball? Do they got batting cages?
Hey, guys, on Facebook Live, thank you so much for listening. We appreciate it.
All right.
Those of you on Blog Talk, we listen to it. And, of course, all of you podcast listeners, the millions and millions. Those of you in Argentina.
Yes.
We got down in Argentina. We're no longer popular in France.
I don't know why Japan isn't picking us up.
But Russia?
Yeah.
There's some Russians listening. That makes total sense. I mean, if there's Russian people
I'm
hacking
very
stuff,
popular
why would they
among
not be hacking our show?
I'm very popular among the Russians. They actually have Al shirts in Russia.
Al?
Al. Alcoholic why? Shirts. They're fans. It's a picture of me.
No, they don't.
Yeah, no, I have a whole. There's like pro wrestling teams
yeah.
In
Argentina.
In Russia,
they got Clark bars.
I doubt
Clark
that.
Bar sweatpants.
Yeah. No,
they,
no
do.
They don't. We've
they
we...
made them. I'm not making any money off it. It's bullshit.
Uh-huh.
All right.
And one more time.
No.
If you need worms that are fat and juicy and they can catch you the best fish in the world, come to Clark's Worms.
They say CM Punk got whooped.
He got his ass beat. Like, beat Clark. Like, and then Dana White was pissed after the match at the guy who beat CM Punk.
Why in the hell did he do this?
I don't know. He wanted to try. I give him props for trying, but, you know,
He had an uphill battle the whole time. But why was Dana White mad at the guy who beat him?
All because I think he thought he could have finished Punk at any point, but kept going to get the camera time. He just kept beating on Punk.
Really?
And, like, yeah.
Wow.
Like a cat playing with a dying mouse.
Oh, Jesus.
You know, like if you've ever seen a cat do that, they'll like, you know, this guy swap at it and play with it a little bit before they kill it.
That's what I heard.
Yeah.
Yep. All right.
Worms don't give any fight back. They just crawl and you grab them.
Next week we'll probably do a Monday show then.
Huh? Oh, okay. Yeah. You're right.
Is that cool?
All right. I'll see you guys later.
Have a good one. Thanks for listening.
Well, hold on, Clark.
What?
Well, I got to get the music.
Well, I thought we were going to a restaurant.
I know. Put your pants back on.
Who said that?
All right. Here we go.
Guys, thanks for watching on Facebook. Thanks for
listening.
Have a good night, Willie. Oh, no, that is not. There we go.
All right. We'll see you next week.
Take
Have a good night.
Have a good one.